Does truth exist?
Because you have faith, does that make this book true?
Does God exist?
So when someone says there is no truth, if you apply the claim to itself, what should you say? Is that true? They don't think Christianity's true. They're talked out of it. You know why they're talked out of it? Because they've never been talked into it.
Cross-examining skeptical and atheistic views. Welcome to Cross-Examine with Dr. Frank Turek.
The United States Supreme Court. Two major decisions on the issue of marriage in America. What do they mean for us? What do they mean for the country? What do they mean for the future? My opinion might surprise you because I thought that the Supreme Court, particularly on the DOMA issue, the Defense of Marriage Act, would rule as they did, but not for the reasons they ruled. I actually think one could make a case for the decision they came to, but not for the reasons they came to it. Let me explain. First of all, there are three issues, and we're only going to deal with DOMA today. If you want to call in later and talk about Prop 8, we can, but we got limited time today. The DOMA case, the Defense of Marriage Act, for those of you who don't know, in 1996, vast majorities in both the House and the Senate passed a law which said marriage in America at the federal level would only be between a man and a woman. President Clinton signed it, and it was passed, as I say, by very, very strong majorities. And this was to protect the federal definition of marriage and also to prevent one state from forcing its view of marriage on another state. Now, not many have talked about this because all you hear about is propaganda in the media. But the homosexual activists that brought these suits before the court got far less than what they were hoping to get. First of all, they wanted the court to define marriage across the United States as same-sex, to include same-sex couples, to basically make marriage genderless. They did not get that. They did not get a Roe v. Wade-type decision, which would nullify marriage laws in all states and put in a federal definition of marriage. They didn't get that. Okay? That would have been kind of a Roe v. Wade-type decision that nullified all state laws. They may have set the stage for that, but they did not get that. The court may have set the stage for that. What the Supreme Court decision did, the DOMA decision, is it said this: in states that have same-sex marriage, same-sex married couples will now get federal benefits. No other states or couples are affected. So it's a narrow ruling. It's saying that the people in states that have same-sex marriage, if they're married in a same-sex marriage, they're going to get the federal benefits of marriage. Now, I actually think you could make a case for that from the federal constitution. Why? Because the states are the ones that define marriage. And if the states define marriage, then the feds ought not come in and say, well, if you define marriage in such and such a way, we're not going to recognize that definition. This is a states' rights issue. And in fact, Justice Kennedy, who authored the opinion, starts out for 7 pages in his opinion talking about how marriage is defined by the state. It's the job of the state. It's not the federal government. That's why I predicted before this would come out that indeed this is the way they would rule on that section of DOMA. What's often not said by the propaganda here, by the other side, by the media, by the White House, they were looking, number one, for a definition of marriage, a federal definition that would nullify all state definitions. They didn't get it. Number two, they won't tell you this, but the really important aspect of the defense of marriage was not up for review. What's the really important one? The really important aspect of the Defense of Marriage Act was the aspect of it that said that one state couldn't force its decision on another state. In other words, Massachusetts couldn't tell Mississippi that because there's same-sex marriage in Massachusetts, that the Mississippi government needs to recognize that. That aspect of DOMA remains. So DOMA has not been overturned, not all of it, just one aspect of it. Okay. But as I was saying a minute ago, you could make a states' rights case for what the Supreme Court did in DOMA because the states define marriage, so therefore the feds ought not get involved in the definition of marriage. Okay. So you could make that states' rights case. That's why I'm saying you might be surprised that I would take that view, but that is a state's rights view. If a state is, let me put this charitably, if I can. You all know that I think same-sex marriage is a very bad idea. I've got a book on it, Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. But to be fair, if a state decides it wants to confer marriage benefits on a same-sex couple, then it would seem, due to states' rights, due to the way the federal Constitution is written, particularly the 10th Amendment, which, of course, reserves the rights to the states where the feds don't intrude, then the federal government ought to recognize what the state says about marriage. Even I think the state is misguided to say that same-sex relationships are marriage. If they do decide that, then the feds ought to accept that. If they had stopped right there, if the court had stopped right there and said, that's our rationale, like they were starting for seven pages to do, Justice Kennedy was starting that rationale. But he ends that rationale and he transitions to another rationale. The rationale of equal protection. That's what Kennedy began to talk about. And he began to state that anyone who's against same-sex marriage is motivated by animus to homosexuals. He crossed a huge line there that none of us, I don't care what side of the issue you're on, should say is a legitimate line to cross. First, let's deal with the issue of equality. Despite the propaganda that you hear incessantly from the media, the White House, and homosexual activists, the same-sex marriage debate is not about equality. The law already treats everyone equally. Every citizen has the equal right to marry somebody the opposite sex. That right applies across the board. No one is being discriminated against. Everybody has that same right. Now, some people obviously don't avail themselves of that right. Some people think that they can't be engaged in such a relationship. That's fine. But the law treats every individual person equally. This is not about people. Nobody's being discriminated against. This is about behavior. Laws rightly discriminate against behaviors. They do not discriminate against people. Natural marriage and same-sex marriage are different behaviors, and they are therefore treated properly differently. You treat equal things equally. You don't treat unequal things equally. And a same-sex marriage and an opposite-sex marriage are not the same relationships. In fact, to prove this, let me just ask one question. And this is a question you ought to ask somebody who's on the other side of this issue, someone who supports same-sex marriage. This is a question you need to ask. Are same-sex and opposite-sex relationships the same or different? No matter how the other person answers, they're going to be in trouble. If they say they're the same, then you ought to ask them, then why are you fighting for same-sex marriage at all? If the relationships are the same, why not just marry somebody of the opposite sex? You'd have no reason to seek same-sex marriage if you thought the relationships were the same. Because you'd simply say, if they were the same, then marrying a man is no different than marrying a woman. Marrying somebody of the opposite sex or the same sex is no different. They're the same. But you're not making that argument by fighting for same-sex marriage. Your rationale or your reason for fighting for same-sex marriage is you know the relationships are not the same. They're different. Well, if they are indeed different, then you treat different things differently. You don't treat equal things, you don't treat unequal things equally. You treat equal things equally. By your own admission, the marriage of a man and a woman is different than a same-sex marriage. That's why you're fighting for same-sex marriage. So by your own admission, they're different. So don't treat them the same. You don't treat a marriage between several people the same as a marriage between a man and a woman. You don't treat marriage between a parent and a child the same as you would a marriage between two unrelated people. They're not equal relationships, so don't treat them equally. They're different. And you treat them differently. Now, the problem with the opinion is it goes further than dealing with equality. It then deals with animus, perceived animus to homosexuals. And you're going to see why that's a disaster right after the break. And later we'll get to your phone calls. I'm Frank Turek. You're listening to Cross Examine with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. Back in 2 minutes. Don't touch that dial.
On October the 11th through the 13th, join fellow Americans who want to get our country back on the right course. Come to Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. and stand for faith, family, and freedom. Mike Huckabee, Senator Rand Paul, Rick Santorum, Star Parker, congressional members are already confirmed. Invited speakers include Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Alan West, Governor Jan Brewer, Bobby Jindal, and Scott Walker. Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, Representatives Eric Cantor, Michelle Bachmann, and more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, protection of life and marriage, government spending, and national security. Register today for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This October, stand with others who are committed to taking back our country. Go to valuesvotersummit.org.
Querido Dios, ¿por qué los padres
tienen hijos? Dear God, why do parents have children if they're just going to abuse them?
Oh, you know, there is no good answer to this question, little friend. I'm so sorry. And you're not alone. Worldwide, an estimated 40 million children under age 15 suffer from violence, abuse, and neglect. This is Wes Stafford, president of Compassion International. As her father stood over her, shouting at his teenage daughter, Catherine prayed out loud, "Lord, I know you can take care of me." Those are the exact words she'd read the day before in a letter from her sponsor. Like thousands of our Compassion children, Catherine faces abuse and violence almost every day of her life. She accepted Christ just a year ago at her Compassion Student Center in Nicaragua. And it's the workers and her sponsor who remind her of Jesus. This is Wes Stafford. Speak up with a message of hope.
Welcome back to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. If you're low on the FM dial looking for NPR, go no further. We're actually going to tell you the truth here. Actually, that's our intention. If we get it wrong, you can call us in and tell us why at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Before the break, I was talking about the fact that the DOMA decision could have been a legitimate decision had they stuck to states' rights, but they did not. They went into this equal protection nonsense. And then they went into the idea that anybody who's against same-sex relationships is motivated by animus. I'm reading from Justice Kennedy's decision right now. Here's what it says. The Constitution's guarantee of equality, quote, must at the very least mean that a bare congressional desire to harm a politically unpopular group cannot justify disparate treatment of that group. In determining whether a law is motivated by an improper animus or purpose, discriminations of an unusual character especially require careful consideration. DOMA cannot survive under these principles. And by the way, that last quote, when he says, discriminations of an unusual character, he's quoting from Romer. What's Romer? Romer was a decision that Kennedy authored back in 1996, where he said that the state of Colorado could not prevent homosexuals from getting special rights because their law that they put into place was motivated by animus. More on this in a minute. He went on to say the House concluded, the House that passed DOMA, that DOMA expresses, quote, both moral disapproval of homosexuality and a moral conviction that heterosexuality better comports with traditional, especially Judeo-Christian morality, unquote. He said the stated purpose of the law was to promote an, quote, interest in protecting the traditional moral teachings reflected in heterosexual-only marriage laws, unquote. Were there any doubt of this far-reaching purpose, the title of the act confirms it, the Defense of Marriage Act. Now, notice what Kennedy just did. He said that we ought not pass a law that expresses moral disapproval of the opposite behavior. I've got a newsflash for Justice Kennedy. That's what all laws do. All laws declare that the opposite behavior is wrong. All laws legislate morality. The only question is whose morality? If a law declares that marriage is between a man and a woman, then any law that states, or I should say, if a law declares that marriage is between a man and a woman, then it says that any behavior outside of that is wrong from the state's perspective. By the way, if the court gets its way, which it seems like it wants to at some point, and declare that marriage must include same-sex couples, but no, say, polygamous couples or incestuous couples or whatever, they are making a moral judgment as well. They're saying that only this type of marriage, marriage between two people, but not marriage between many people, or marriage between, say, a mother and a son, or a father and a daughter, or whatever, those marriages aren't approved. No matter what position you take on marriage, you are excluding anybody you exclude from the definition of marriage. You're making a moral judgment that those other types of marriages aren't approved. So you can't avoid it. In fact, let me take Kennedy's statement, which he thinks is wrong, that DOMA expresses both moral disapproval of homosexuality and the moral conviction that heterosexuality better comports with traditional Christian morality. And the stated purpose of the law is to promote an interest in protecting the traditional moral teachings reflected in heterosexual-only marriage law. Suppose we change what Kennedy said and just put the Supreme Court in there rather than DOMA. The Congress that passed DOMA. Suppose we said this: the Supreme Court now concludes, quote, both moral disapproval of those who say marriage is between a man and a woman and a moral conviction that genderless marriage better comports with our, the court's, definition of morality. The stated purpose of our opinion today is to promote an interest in protecting the new moral teachings reflected in same-sex marriage laws. You see, he's doing the same thing that he says that the DOMA law shouldn't have done. He is imposing his own moral point of view on the issue of marriage. You can't get away from this. It amazes me that there are people who are this intelligent that get to the top of the Supreme Court. And obviously, Kennedy's an intelligent man, but could say such things that are obviously hypocritical. In some cases, they're logically self-defeating, and they don't show a basic grasp of what law really is. This man is at the top of the Supreme Court. Well, he's not at the top, Justice Roberts is, but he's on the Supreme Court, and he doesn't seem to understand that all laws put forth a moral point of view. And that's what our book, Legislating Morality, is all about. In any event, he goes on to say this. This is Justice Kennedy again in the DOMA case. He's writing for the majority, the 5-4 decision. This places same-sex couples in an unstable position of being in a second-tier marriage. The differentiation demeans the couple whose moral and sexual choices the Constitution protects. He says, see Lawrence. Lawrence? What's Lawrence? Lawrence versus Texas is another decision that he wrote back in 2003, which said that all laws against sodomy at the state level were unconstitutional. Well, I'm sorry to laugh, but it is kind of funny. He's just quoting from himself to say that he's right here. You know, he's quoting from obviously a Supreme Court opinion that he wrote. Well, suppose the Lawrence decision was decided improperly. See, that's the problem of using case law to try and figure out what the Constitution says. If you get a case law wrong and then you start quoting from the wrong case law, then you're obviously not going to be lined up with what the Constitution says. It would be like reading from commentaries of the Bible that are wrong and then saying this is what the Bible says because you're reading from a wrong commentary. Get back to the Constitution and see what the Constitution says. He goes on to say, what has been explained to this point should more than suffice to establish that the principal purpose and the necessary effect of the law are to demean those persons who are in a lawful same-sex marriage. Demean those people. Let me say this. Even if he's right about the reasons the Congress or the people pass a law, since when is it the court's role to decide whether those reasons are moral or not? Should voters have to get approval from Justice Kennedy to vote the way they do? Does Justice Kennedy get to veto a voter's preference because Justice Kennedy doesn't like the reasons for his vote? Friends, I got a newsflash for you. In our country, you can have any reason you want to vote in a certain way. You can have good reasons, bad reasons, or no reasons to vote the way you do. You can have moral reasons, immoral reasons, religious reasons, non-religious reasons, or stupid reasons to vote a certain way. If one had to justify his voting or his reasons for voting, very few liberals and some conservatives wouldn't be permitted to vote. Why? Because a lot of liberals I've spoken to, and when I look at liberalism, they're more fueled by emotion rather than reasons. If they had to justify why they voted the way they do, they wouldn't be able to vote. And some conservatives just vote the way they do, not because they have reasons, but there's just some sort of emotional appeal to them. Should those people not be permitted to vote? According to the reasoning Justice Kennedy's coming through here, that's the case. Now, if you really want to know the right side of any issue, most of the time you just need to read what Justice Scalia says. And here's what Justice Scalia says in his dissent. As I have observed before, the Constitution does not forbid the government to enforce traditional moral and sexual norms. He goes on to quote his dissent in the Lawrence v. Texas case. And he's right about that, because that's what all laws do. They declare one behavior right and the opposite behavior wrong. He goes on to say this: I will not swell the U.S. reports with restatements of that point. It is enough to say that the Constitution neither requires nor forbids a society to approve of same-sex marriage, much as it neither requires nor forbids us to approve of no-fault divorce, polygamy, or the consumption of alcohol. However, even setting aside traditional moral disapproval of same-sex marriage or indeed same-sex sex, there are many perfectly valid, indeed downright boring, justifying rationales for this legislation. In other words, he's saying, look, I'm not going to go through all the reasons why DOMA is good law. There are many reasons out there, but they're boring. That's not his position to do it anyway. He continues. Their existence ought to be the end of this case, for they have given the lie to the court's decision that only those with hateful hearts could have voted yes on this act. And more importantly, they serve to make the contents of the legislature's hearts quite irrelevant. He goes on to quote another case where he says, it is a familiar principle of constitutional law that this court will not strike down an otherwise constitutional statute on the basis of an illicit legislative motive. In other words, he's saying, look, a Congress, a president, the people themselves can have any reason they want to vote for a particular law. And the court ought not say, well, we don't like your reasons. He goes on to say, by holding to the contrary, the majority has declared open season on any law that, in the opinion of the law's opponents and any panel of like-minded federal judges, can be characterized as mean-spirited. He's basically saying that if the court decides that the law's mean-spirited, then the court can overturn it. This is absurd, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let me go back to what I said before. And by the way, I'm going to try and get to your phone calls a little bit later in the program. If you're on the phone, hang on. I've got a lot more to say on this. But do you see where we're going here? Do you see that if somebody just doesn't like the reason you came up with the law, they can overturn it? Scalia goes on. The majority concludes that the only motive for this act was the, quote, bare desire to harm a politically unpopular group. Well, guess what? We're about to have a situation where we're going to harm another politically unpopular group, i.e. Christians, Muslims, and Jews. Well, particularly Christians. Do you think the court's going to overturn a law that harms Christians because Christians are politically unpopular? No, Kennedy wouldn't go for that. Scalia goes on to say, the majority says that the supporters of this act acted with malice, with the purpose to disparage and to injure same-sex couples. It says that the motivation for DOMA was to demean, impose inequality, to impose a stigma, to deny people equal dignity, to brand gay people as unworthy, and to humiliate their children. He's quoting all this here. I am sure that these accusations are quite untrue. To be sure, as the majority points out, the legislation is called the Defense of Marriage Act. But to defend traditional marriage is not to condemn, demean, or humiliate those who would prefer other arrangements any more. Get this. This is brilliance from Scalia. Any more than to defend the Constitution of the United States is to condemn, demean, or humiliate other constitutions. To hurl such accusations so casually demeans this institution. In other words, demeans the Supreme Court. For the court to say this kind of thing demeans them. This is amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Much more to say. And if you want to join in, we'll try and get to you later. And I will get to you later, maybe after the next break. 1-888-589-8840. 1-888-589-8840. You're listening to Frank Turek on Cross-Examined with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. Back in 2 minutes.
Attention all Christians who would like to become more effective in presenting and defending their beliefs. This is Alex McFarland inviting you to attend Truth for a New Generation,
the conference on apologetics and evidence for the faith.
TNG 2013 is coming to Charlotte, North Carolina, September 27, 28. As non-Christian belief systems compete for the hearts and minds of people, it is vitally important that Christians be equipped to share their faith confidently and effectively, live, in person. Hear an amazing lineup that includes Josh McDowell, Lee Strobel, Erwin Lutzer, Eric Metaxas, and more. Because young people need to know how to defend their faith, the conference also includes special apologetic sessions just for teens. Visit truthforanewgeneration.com or call 888-705-0980. That's 888-705-0980. Don't miss Lee Strobel, Eric Metaxas, and more at the Apologetics Event of the Year, September 27, 28. Visit truthforanewgeneration.com, brought to you in association with AFR.
This is Max Licato. Proverbs 16:18 reminds us, as humility goes before honor, pride goes before a fall. Ever wonder why churches are powerful in one generation but empty the next? The Bible says, the Lord will tear down the house of the proud. God hates arrogance. He hates it because we haven't done anything to be arrogant about. Is there a Pulitzer for ink? Can you imagine a scalpel growing smug after a successful heart transplant? Of course not. They are only tools. So are we. We may be the canvas, the paper, or the scalpel, but we are not the one who deserves the applause. David declares who does in the 23rd Psalm. He makes me, he leads me, he restores my soul for his name's sake. For his name's sake, no other name. This is all done for God's glory. He takes the credit, not because he needs it, but because he knows we cannot handle it. This is Max Licato.
Whenever you want to know what the proper interpretation of a law should be, or the proper application of a law, you typically read Justice Scalia, because Scalia has, I think, a proper view of the Constitution. Doesn't mean he's always right. I've disagreed with him on occasion before. But when you read the dissent in the DOMA case, you realize how right on Scalia is. Let me continue with what Scalia said, commenting on what Kennedy and his cohort said. Because Kennedy's case isn't just about states' rights. Kennedy's case is that if you support traditional marriage, or natural marriage is better stated, then somehow you demean homosexuals. And that's why DOMA should be overturned. Let me quote from the end of Scalia's opinion. This is near the end. He says, in the majority's judgment, that's Kennedy's judgment, any resistance to its holding is beyond the pale of reasoned judgment. To question its high-handed invalidation of a presumptually valid statute is to act, the majority is sure, with the purpose to disparage, injure, degrade, demean, and humiliate our fellow human beings, our fellow citizens who are homosexual. All that simply for supporting an act that did no more. What's the act? The DOMA Act. That did no more than to codify an aspect of marriage that has been unquestioned in our society for most of its existence. Indeed, had been unquestioned in virtually all societies for virtually all of human history. It is one thing for a society to elect change. It is another for a court of law to impose change by adjudicating those who oppose it enemies of the human race. You see, that's what's going on here. Now that's the end of Scalia there. And let me just comment now. This is what many liberals do. Meaning Justice Kennedy. He's probably more a libertarian, but he's ruling in a liberal way on this case. This is what many liberals do. Instead of attempting to answer the arguments for a particular policy, like DOMA, he doesn't even try and answer them. He just says that the people who passed DOMA had malice in their hearts. Instead of trying to answer the arguments for a particular policy, liberals demean and degrade those who hold that policy. This is the height of hypocrisy, friends. In one breath, Justice Kennedy tells us that those who passed DOMA demeaned homosexuals. In the next breath, he demeans those who passed DOMA and support natural marriage. He does exactly what he just said shouldn't be done. That's why Justice Scalia rightfully points out that Kennedy is demeaning the Supreme Court itself by behaving this way. And see, this is the main problem with liberals and libertarians like Justice Kennedy. On moral issues, they exempt themselves from their own rules. They say everyone must be tolerant, but we don't need to tolerate you. They say everyone must be kind, but we don't need to be kind to you. They say everyone must be accepted, but we don't need to accept you. They say that everyone must be included, but we don't need to include you. They say everyone must have reasons for his position, but we don't have to have reasons for ours. They say that everyone must celebrate diversity, but we don't need to celebrate your diverse idea. They say that all cultures are equally good, except yours. They say you can't legislate morality, but we will legislate ours. You see, this is the fatal flaw in liberalism, and yet they're blind to it. Now, Scalia didn't get into the reasons for supporting natural marriage exclusively. He said so many of them are boring. That wasn't his place either, but we will. As I mentioned earlier, defining marriage to one man and one woman is not intended to be demeaning to anyone. It is recognizing the natural order of things. If you take offense that men were made for women and that children come from their unions and that children, statistically speaking, are best raised by their biological parents, then you have a problem with reality. You don't have a problem with me or anyone else who supports natural marriage. We didn't make up the facts of nature. I didn't invent the biological realities of the universe. I'm just recognizing this truth. That is not bigotry. That is biology. If you are rebelling against the facts of biology and parenting, the very facts that you are responsible for you being here, then don't blame the rest of us who accept the facts of biology and parenting. We didn't make them up. We are just recognizing them. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this is about behavior, not people. Our marriage laws don't discriminate against people. Every person in America has the right to marry somebody of the opposite sex. Those laws treat everyone equally. And by the way, same-sex marriage is not illegal anywhere in the country. There's just no provision for it in some states. If two people want to commit themselves to one another till death do them part, nobody will stop them. Everybody can do that if they want to. Now, some states promote marriage between same-sex couples, but nobody's preventing it. Natural marriage and same-sex marriage are different behaviors and therefore are rightly treated differently. You treat equal things equally. You don't treat unequal things equally. Notice I'm not saying that we're treating people unequally. I'm saying you're treating behaviors unequally. And that's what all laws do. If you didn't treat behaviors unequally, we'd have no laws at all. We'd say all laws are the same or all behaviors are the same. That's obviously not the case. And this is what we need to be talking about more. We need to be refuting the arguments that are put forth to say this is about equality. It has nothing to do with equality. Everybody's treated equally. Behaviors are treated differently. Why? Because they're different behaviors. Now, you only have to ask three questions in order to show the difference between same-sex and opposite-sex relationships. The first question I already mentioned earlier in the show, and I promise we're going to get to your calls right after the next break, 1-888-589-8840. 1-888-589-8840. What are the three questions? First question, are homosexual and heterosexual relationships the same or different? No matter how somebody answers, they're going to realize that they're different. If they say they're the same, then you're going to say, well, why are you fighting for same-sex marriage at all? If the relationships are the same, you'd simply marry somebody of the opposite sex and be done with it. But no, the reason you're fighting for same-sex marriage is because you know the relationships are different. Well, if they're different, then you don't treat different things equally. You treat equal things equally. So your whole case crumbles. The second question is, what would happen to society if everyone lived faithfully in natural marriage, that's marriage between a man and a woman? Well, quite obviously, many of our social problems would evaporate. We'd have, obviously, lower child abuse, lower abortion, lower crime, because kids would be brought up in two-parent homes, which means we'd have lower taxes. Why? Because the government wouldn't have to be as big to try and take care of the things that the family should be taking care of, and to try and deal with all the increased crime and welfare and all the things that come from broken homes. So if everyone lived faithfully in natural marriage, our society would be better. And that's, the purpose of marriage. The purpose of marriage from a state level is not because two people love one another. They don't care whether you love one another or not. It's not about love. Oh, they hope that you love, obviously, but you don't have to love somebody to get married to them. That's not the reason that the state supports marriage. In fact, around the world, most marriages are arranged. The primary reason the state supports marriage and is involved in marriage is because marriage between a man and a woman perpetuates and stabilizes society. It procreates, brings up kids best, and therefore stabilizes society. Same-sex couples can't do that. You say, well, some married couples don't do that. Yeah, that's true, but that's the exception rather than the rule. The only couples that do that are heterosexual married couples. And you make laws based on the rule, not the exception. So you ask the second question, what would be the effects in society if everyone lived faithfully in natural marriage? Everything would be better. Next question, what would be the effects in society if everyone lived faithfully in same-sex marriage? Well, it would be the end of society. Now, I know people are howling out there. I'm not saying that a law that promoted same-sex marriage would force this kind of situation. Obviously, it wouldn't. I'm only asking the question to show that there's an obvious difference between same-sex relationships and opposite-sex relationships. Now, by the way, that's not to demean anyone in any of those relationships. It's simply pointing out the behavior is different from a societal perspective. It's also different from a biological perspective. It's also different from a social perspective. It's also different from a procreative perspective. It's also different from a parenting perspective, because same-sex couples always deny their child either a mother or a father. Which of those parents is indispensable? Or should I say dispensable? Which parent is dispensable? If people say, oh, men, two men can bring up a child just as good as two women. Oh, okay. That can happen on occasion, certainly. There are exceptions. But are you saying that fathers and mothers aren't different? That they don't bring different aspects of parenting to the child? Of course they do. You're just denying all common sense to say that they are the same. Of course they're different. So when you ask the three questions, I think you can show people from a logical perspective that the relationships therefore are different. Again, I'm not demeaning the people in the relationships. I'm simply saying the behaviors are different from a societal perspective. So you don't treat them the same. You treat equal behaviors the same. You don't treat unequal behaviors the same. And if people say, well, my love is just as good as yours. First of all, it's not about love. That's not why the state's involved in marriage. Secondly, what do you mean by good? What does that mean? You got to define your terms. So what do you mean by that, right? And from a societal perspective, it's quite obvious that a relationship between a man and a woman in marriage brings more good to society than a relationship between two men or two women or three men and three women or whatever. That's why the state promotes marriage between a man and a woman and should promote it, and not other types of relationships and call them marriage. Now, there's only three things a government can do about any behavior. It can permit a behavior, or let me start from the bottom. It can prohibit a behavior, it can permit a behavior, or promote a behavior. Like it can prohibit and does prohibit, say, incest, pedophilia, harmful behaviors. It permits homosexual and heterosexual behaviors. Now, heterosexual behaviors quite frequently are harmful. But due to Kennedy's decision back in 2003, we no longer prohibit same-sex relationships. But the government promotes relationships between a man and a woman. Why? Because only a man and a woman perpetuate and stabilize society by rule. Now, if we're promoting a relationship between a man and a woman, does that mean that people who don't engage in that relationship, are they somehow being discriminated against? No. Nobody's being discriminated against. You have the right to engage in that promoted relationship if you choose to. If you choose not to, or you can't be involved in such a relationship for whatever reason, you are not being discriminated against. Nobody's being discriminated against. You know, we promote police officers and we permit most other vocations. But because you choose not to be a police officer, are you being discriminated against if the government pays people to be police officers? No, of course not. You gain the benefits of police work even though you never become a police officer. Similarly, even if you never personally get married yourself, you gain the benefits of a more stabilized society when other people get married. So when the government promotes marriage between a man and a woman, you benefit even if you personally don't get married. You're not being discriminated against. Behaviors are being discriminated against, but people are not. And all laws discriminate against behaviors. All right, right when we come back from the break, we're going to get to your questions. 1-888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. If you'd like to chime in on this, I'm sorry I had a lot to say on this. I still have more to say, but we're going to get to your calls right after the break. 888-589-8840. What do you think about the DOMA decision? And don't demean people. Give me reasons. Don't do what Kennedy did. Give us reasons as to why you think it was a good or bad decision. Back in just 2 minutes. See you then.
Kevin McCullough.
I may not hold every conspiracy theory that's out there.
AFA Today.
But I don't begrudge anybody that does hold them.
I feel like we need some form of a cultural awakening.
Okay, enough is enough.
All God asks of you is faithfulness.
Will we be faithful today?
Faithfulness is the word.
To tell the truth, to live the truth, to be the truth to those around us.
AFA Today. Every weekday at noon Central on American Family Radio. AFR Talk.
In essence, the apology tour worked, and leading from behind has worked. I mean, there's peace in Syria.
Crane Durham's Nothing But Truth.
Our soldiers aren't getting shot by the people they're training in Afghanistan. The president's been so clear on the mission there. I mean, it's amazing. And the president stood by principle once again and defended merit. Oh, I'm sorry. I was in my Obama world.
Don't miss Crane Durham's Nothing But Truth. Weekday afternoons at 5 Central on AFR Talk.
Freedom and liberty are great words to describe our citizenship here in this amazing country. But when you feel tangled up on the inside, freedom can seem like an impossible dream. Problems can overwhelm us to the point that we feel like a prisoner, with our mind racing and struggling to find relief. It can get out of control when we turn to drugs, drinking, or anything else to make that pain go away. But that brings even more pain, and freedom becomes more elusive. There is another way. The Bible says in Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. You can have true and lasting freedom through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Get rid of the bonds that keep you from peace and freedom. Learn how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and make this your Independence Day. Call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Or click over to chataboutjesus.com.
Welcome back to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. We're talking about the Supreme Court decision, particularly the DOMA decision of this past week. And you've been very patient to hang on the phone. So let me get right to the phone calls. We'll start with Jan in Ohio. Jan, you're on with Frank Turek. Go right ahead, ma'am.
Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to you for at least 3 years.
It's Jan, that's a long time to listen. Thanks for listening.
Oh, I love everything you say makes so much sense to me, even in the very beginning. Anyway, I'm going to get right to my question. Elaine Kagan helped write Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
Before she was appointed to the Supreme Court, she openly was a practicing lesbian. Shouldn't she not have recused herself from this judgment?
Well, let me play devil's advocate on that case. Would that mean that all heterosexuals would have to recuse themselves too?
I guess not.
Yeah. See.
Yeah.
So yeah. I would say not necessarily. And I would think that she certainly should have recused herself from the Obamacare decision because she actively worked on the legislation for it. But in
right.
this case, just because she's a lesbian doesn't mean that she desired. And I don't even know if she is. I don't know if she said that or not. But if she is, no, she has the right to make a decision on it as well. I mean, a lot of people went after Judge Walker, who decided the Prop 8 case because he was a homosexual. He didn't recuse himself. I take the view that, look, only you and your heart know if you're biased one way or the other and should or shouldn't decide to engage in a particular case. So I'll trust her judgment on that. I think... the Walker case was a little bit more overt because his reasoning was just so poor in the case. In fact, I wrote two columns on it back when it came out. But with Kagan, I think she has a right to rule on it. I think on Obamacare she shouldn't have, but on this she has a right to rule on it.
Okay. I thank you for answering me and keep fighting.
All right. Thanks very much, Jan. Let me go to Dorothy way out in I think you're in Oregon. Is that right, Dorothy?
Yes.
How you doing?
Yes. I'm good. Thank you for doing all that you do. I love everything that you say and write and all.
Thank you.
And I loved your explanation of that treatment of equal behaviors, you know, between people who are thinking that they're discriminated against because they can't do something.
Mm-hmm.
Gay people can live together in a monogamous way.
Sure.
Yeah. But anyway, but my main thing is about this opinion. Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting that the newspapers don't tell you the truth of what that was said? Our front paper, a front page said, the court rulings favor gay marriage rights. And just keep it real simple like that. And then when you start reading into it, you see more of what it was really done.
Yeah, in reality, what the court ruling really decided was that the state has the right to define what marriage is. That's really the bottom line to the DOMA ruling when it comes to people in their state. But it doesn't say that every state has to recognize same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It just says that if you're in a state that has same-sex marriage, then the feds ought to recognize your marriage as a marriage. Now, as I said earlier in the program, while I think same-sex marriage is terrible, I think that you could make a case for that ruling. Because if a state, in my view, is misguided enough to give same-sex couples or call them marriage, just like opposite-sex couples, well, that's what they decided. So the feds ought to respect that.
And,
does that make sense, Dorothy?
Excuse me. How do we, can we go online and hear this program? Can we go online and read it?
Well, the program that we're talking about right now? Yes.
The one that we're on right now or any of your programs?
Yes, they're all, if you go to crossexamined.org and click on media, you'll see radio, TV, radio. We're on TV as well, but you'll see radio there. If you click on radio, it'll take you to the iTunes podcasts. And all these shows are in podcast on iTunes. You can go directly to iTunes. If you type in cross-examined, you'll find all these programs. Now, this program will be posted probably in about a day because obviously we're recording it right now. But it'll be up again. It'll air tomorrow night. You're on the West Coast. That'll be 2 p.m. Eastern time. I'm sorry, 2 p.m. Pacific time. On the West Coast. So it'll air again tomorrow, and then it'll be in podcast, so you can listen to it again.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I love your reasoning. I love your program. And I just wish everybody had access, because I know American Family Radio isn't all over the country. Where else are you on besides American Family Radio?
Well, we're on American Family Radio, but we're on the Internet, then, for everyone. That's why if you go to iTunes, you can listen to any of it. Right there.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Dorothy. Good call. Appreciate that from Oregon. And by the way, I never hardly mention this on the radio program. In fact, somebody asked me a question why I never do. I don't know. I just never get around to it. But we are listener supported at crossexamined.org. So if you like this program and want to keep it on the air, we value your donations. We can't do this program without donations, so we appreciate any donation you can give us. Crossexamined.org, you can give securely online, or you can go there, and there's an address to send us a check if you'd like. We appreciate that. All right, let me move on. We'll go to John listening in Florida. John, you're on with Frank Turek. Go right ahead, sir.
Hey, grace and peace. Mercy.
Hey, how you doing, John?
To get a basis for your opinion, for my opinion, mm-hmm. I think it's wrong, but... there's another name for homosexuals in Deuteronomy 23, second verse,
mm-hmm.
talks about, I'll just abbreviate it, they call them BTDs. And the way you can tell a BTD is they got a spiral in your hair, and that spiral
All right, John,
is
John,
off
John.
One side.
John, let's not go there. That's not going to be helpful to our conversation. I appreciate the call. Let me go to Eddie, who's on in Alabama. Eddie, you're on with Frank Turek. Go right ahead.
Hey, God bless you, Frank. Thank you for lifting up Jesus. And just a reminder, those three famous words coming up Thursday, we the people.
That's
you know,
right.
We the people elected our president. Mm-hmm. I specifically did not, but we as a nation did.
Mm-hmm.
He made the two justices that were appointed to the Supreme Court, and we the people elected the senators that approved these justices to the Supreme Court. I know that Kennedy was a Reagan appointee, but I guess ultimately if we as the body of Christ, as you've alluded to earlier, if we will lift up Jesus and honor our marriages and be that shining light and witness and testimony, that's going to be the difference until Jesus comes back. God bless you, bro.
Thank you, Eddie. I appreciate that. Yes, we definitely need to do that. We also need to pray for everybody on the court. We need to pray for President Obama. We need to pray for everybody in leadership that they would do the right thing and not look. There's only two possible ways to look at moral issues. The moral issue is either objective in the nature of God or it's subjective in man. Now, those who are fighting for same-sex marriage have to say that God approves same-sex marriage. Now, from our perspective in the Constitution, we believe in the Constitution here in the United States, and I think the Constitution is very consistent with Christianity, religious freedom, and all that. But our grounding document is the Declaration of Independence. We get these rights from God, and governments are instituted among men, not to give these rights, not to take them away, but to secure these rights. If your right isn't grounded in God, then it's just grounded in human opinion, which means it isn't a right. So anybody fighting for same-sex marriage has to somehow say that God approves of same-sex marriage. Now, there's no religious group or religious scripture, I should say, that supports that. Even Jesus himself said marriage is between a man and a woman, male and female. Matthew chapter 19. And in the natural order that men are made for women, this is quite obvious as well. So you're either going to say that it's a subjective issue. In other words, it's just my opinion, to which I'd respond, well, why are you imposing your opinion on me? Or you're going to say it's objective. It's in the natural order. It comes from God itself. I don't think they can make that case either. All right. Let me get one more call in from Judy listening in Texas. Judy, you're on with Frank Turek. Go right ahead, ma'am.
Hey, I just wanted to say... To me, one of the if these people want to choose to have this behavior and call it a civil union, I don't, at this point, let them have their behavior and their sinful and their civil union kind of a thing. But part of the reason I think that they want to get married is because I know this, because they want to adopt. And then to make this a perfectly legitimate thing in which to raise children, one of my huge issues with that is that back in my 20s, I was liberal like most people in their young 20s are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had tons of gay friends. And so I went to gay bars. I hung out with them. I wasn't gay, but it was a bunch of guys that were gay. And then we had girlfriend conversations, you know, heart to heart and stuff that I don't think they would tell a researcher or put on a survey. Every one of them had been molested when they were kids. Or
yeah,
adolescents. And it's,
Judy,
it's a problem.
That is common, and that's why you need to pray for people who are involved in any kind of sexual activity which isn't natural and isn't biblical. I mean, we need to pray for everyone. And, you know, people say, oh, the Bible is singling out homosexuality. No, it's not. Every relationship outside of – every sexual relationship outside of a relationship between a man and a woman inside of marriage – according to the God, is a problem. Why? Because sex is destructive outside of the bonds of marriage between a man and a woman. Sex is like fire. If you keep it in your fireplace, it's wonderful. It'll warm you. Anywhere else fire gets in your house, it will burn the house down, and people need to know that. Let me mention one other thing. You just mentioned civil unions, and some Christians are saying, well, let's just give civil unions. The problem with civil unions is you're promoting negative behavior, medically damaging behavior, and you're getting the same negative effects on parental rights and religious rights and rights of conscience that you'd get with same-sex marriage. So in other words, the courts and the government would say, if you don't agree with these civil unions, we are going to take away your parental rights to educate your children. We're going to take away your religious rights to act as you would either in business or in your religious organization or outside of your religious organization. So you're getting the same negative impingement on religious freedom that you get with same-sex marriage. You get them from civil rights as well, or I should say civil unions as well. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, but I think that a huge deception, I don't think that. And this is my assertion. I do not think anybody is really gay. And this is having known tons of gay people. Mm-hmm. I think that we're born with a billion decisions to make. And I think that for people to identify themselves as this is my identity, and they have to choose what they were born as, heterosexual or homosexual or bi or whatever. I don't think anybody was necessarily born anything. I think.
All right. Thanks, Judy. Judy, we're out of time. I appreciate it, but we're coming up against a break. Well, it doesn't matter if you're born that way or not. Sexual behavior is always a choice. There's a difference between attractions and actions are always a choice. Wish we had more time. I'm Frank Turek. Go to crossexamined.org for more. See you next week. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of American Family Association or American Family Radio.